All right, everybody, welcome back to session 5, moving right along. Austin, good to see you again.
Likewise, here we are. We're making some progress. You ready to dive in?
Let's do it.
Okay, so this is where the rubber meets the road, leading effective strategy sessions. And I'm really excited about this particular session because I think it's going to demystify some of the concerns that people have about actually doing this. Maybe I should say allay. Maybe that's allay fears, allay concerns. Okay, quick recap on session 4. At this point, you have defined what your juicy offer is going to be. Ideally, you've also thought about who could help you poke holes in it. And if you follow these steps, you may end up with your very first strategy engagement sold, booked, maybe even the invoice paid. So some of you may be in that position of thinking, well, now I actually have to deliver this thing. So that's what we're here today to talk about: facilitating sessions, delivering reports. And then I thought it would be helpful for me to actually take the steps that I have shown you to date and just show you screenshot by screenshot what it looked like for me. So when I was delivering one of these engagements beginning to end, like you obviously don't have to read the emails, but you can be like, oh, like it's not this mystical thing to send an offer over an email. So we'll get into that in a moment. Let's just start with facilitating sessions. I want to start with a principle, and that is this: leadership happens before you show up to facilitate a session. Remember that when clients are even interested, it's because they have a lack of clarity. They really do need a guide. They really do need outside perspective. And that essentially passes the baton to you, the baton you can take if you want. Will you lead me? So I just tell you that now and give you that word leadership so that when you start to think through client experience, a premium client experience, you can ask yourself that question: how can I lead my strategy clients effectively? And that may look a little bit different than writing clients. A lot of you have probably had writing clients who really drove the project. In this situation, it's important for you to drive the project. I already mentioned premium client experience. In the same way leadership happens before the session even starts, the value happens before the session even starts. I've had strategy clients finish filling out an onboarding questionnaire and either over text or over phone call or over email, essentially say, I mean, even just being forced to gather my thoughts was helpful, right? So I say that to let you know that all of the pressure isn't on some kind of performance that you have to pull off the day of the session. Leadership happens before then. Value happens before then. And the more careful and studied you are in crafting or creating a premium client experience, the more value your clients will experience overall. And I'm going to give you some ideas for, okay, well, Austin, that word premium is nice. It gets thrown around a lot. How do you make an experience premium? I'm going to give you some ideas for that. Okay. So you've already seen these steps in previous sessions. There's nothing really unusual here. This may even look similar to how you would onboard a writing client. So let's enrich that with some best practices. I like to ask clients to go somewhere offsite. I have an office, so when I invite clients into my space, I just have a lot more control over everything from, like, if we're playing music in the background, there aren't going to be people bursting into the meeting and asking the client to respond to an email, which has happened to me. I go to their office, and because my client is still physically present, other members of the team actually mistranslate that presence as availability. Oh, sorry to interrupt. And I'm like, you don't realize how important this is for your boss to have this time without you bursting in. So I would just recommend, if you're doing an in-person session, to do it offsite. Also, this is just, it's inexpensive, but people love it. When you send the pre-work questionnaire, the onboarding questionnaire, I use those two interchangeably. When you send that questionnaire, send them a $5 or $10 gift card to a local independent coffee shop. That's my preference, or to Starbucks, depending on what you think is available to them. It's a nice gesture. It's inexpensive. And when you want to talk about a premium client experience, little acts of generosity go a long way. Hey, here's a cup of coffee on me. I just sent you the questionnaire. Really take some time to go deep with those questions. I'm really looking forward to this, right? And in that same vein, if I'm doing an in-person session, I really try to roll out the red carpet and give a client the VIP treatment. I will have lunch catered. I'll show up with really nice coffee, with really nice pastries. If it's an all-day session, I'll make sure to have what I call fancy water, right? Some really like just, I mean, here we are, Topo Chico, right? But you can determine what the best fancy water is for you. But anyway, snacks, don't leave any stone unturned in terms of making them feel at home. This is hospitality. So that's another way that people really feel and experience a premium client experience. When you see yourself as the gracious host and you take care of those thoughtful details, right? And I'll actually skip down to the bottom, show up with swag. You don't have to do this. I don't think, Ed, have I worn my Balernum hat on any of our calls? I don't think you have.
And I see, I've noticed that's your trademark.
Well, it is. I have these custom hats that I had made with a company in Seattle called Ebbets Field Flannels. And I like to show up with one of those hats, give that gift to the client when we're meeting in person, and kind of say, welcome to the team, welcome to the family. Along those same lines of rolling out the red carpet hospitality, when you greet them, don't still be in the middle of setting everything up, right? Like show up an hour early, take a deep breath, you know, pray, meditate, get centered, get your mind straight. Be ready to just be off like a shot when they get there. This isn't a situation where you really want all the sawdust in the corners to show, metaphorically. Like, invite them into an experience that feels polished. So do whatever planning you have to do on the front end to be prepared to welcome them. And then this last one, bring the fun. That one's obvious. Like, make it an enjoyable experience. One specific example of that is when I say share a best of list, I live in Knoxville, Tennessee. I have had multiple, probably 4 or 5 clients at this point want, volunteer, offer to come to me. Two came from Atlanta, one from Nashville, one from Kentucky. I've had some folks fly in. So what I have done is prepare a best of Knoxville list so that when people show up here, I'm like, here are the best boutique hotels if you want that. Here are the best restaurants. Here are the best coffee shops. Here are the best distilleries, breweries, best place to get like a local beer. Here's the best, you know, give them the best of list because their experience in your city is going to inform their experience or shape their experience of this engagement as a whole. So if I send somebody to this killer boutique hotel that they might not have found otherwise, and then I say, oh, go to JC Holdway, which is our favorite special occasion restaurant, go to JC Holdway for dinner. And I've kind of lined up their itinerary in some respect. People love that, right? And so the next day when I welcome them to my office and I have everything set up, they're feeling refreshed. They're feeling taken care of. Again, give people that VIP treatment when you're meeting with them in person.
Hey, Austin, real quick, if it's going to be a virtual Zoom session, I know you mentioned the idea of a coffee, you know, coffee card, gift card. Any other thoughts, you know, in terms of making it a true VIP experience if it's over Zoom?
Yes. Best practices for online sessions.
Oh, well, there you go.
You anticipated the next slide. It is different, right, Ed? I mean, it's like harder, I will say, to make people feel like a very important person when you're meeting on Zoom. I'll still send that coffee gift card. And when I say set expectations beforehand, I don't mean like you're like this boot camp sergeant. I mean, you just kind of explain, here's how it's going to go. Like, we're going to start on the hour, on the, you know, and really there's a nuance here, but showing that you're in charge, that you know exactly what's happening next, puts people at ease, right? It's imagine that you are like coming out of the terminal at the airport and at baggage claim, somebody is waiting with you and holding up a sign that has your name on it. There's just no indecision. Like, oh, there's my chauffeur, right? And so when I say set expectations beforehand, I mean, you're just laying out to them exactly what they're going to expect each step of the way. Because we all have instantaneous communication, it's really easy to not set expectations beforehand. And if you will, actually, it's not, yeah, there it is, have a backup plan. Have you ever been on a Zoom call where there was just a technology fumble and you're sitting there, and if you're the client, you're thinking, well, clock is ticking, I'm not really getting my money's worth, right? But if you set expectations beforehand and you have the entire experience mapped out for the client, they will experience that as having higher value. On that subject of tech issues, before the client arrives, get all your stuff set up, have all of your video and audio stuff set up, and then make sure you minimize any interruptions. We're all very accommodating with, tech problems at this point, tech snafus. So you don't have to get all sweaty, hot, and bothered if there's a problem. But, you know, don't be scrambling to find your headphones, those sorts of things, right? Like, when they show up, you are poised, you are gracious, you are ready to rock and roll. That's one of the ways that if you can't do the in-person thing, still the language I use is be an island of calm. No matter where they're coming from, as soon as they sort of come into the orbit of this engagement, like, you've set the tone. This is a really subtle one, but when I say take notes on pen and paper, when we see other people writing things down that we have said, it makes us feel like what we have said is important, significant. If you were busy typing notes, though, the other person doesn't know if you're listening or if you're answering emails. So I know it's a small thing, but when I do these strategy sessions, I've done them both ways. I just think there is a very subtle but powerful cue that you send when you have notes on pen and paper. And again, back to expectations, you can say, you know, I close down all my applications and I take notes on pen and paper during our session. I'm going to be fully present with you. We just don't get a lot of that in our lives. Even when we go out to lunch with friends, you know, your friends, maybe it's just my realtor friends, are like always pulling out their phones, finding the next lead, right? But to be fully present, fully available, totally dialed in is part of that premium experience that you deliver online. Have a backup plan. And then the last one, radiate confidence even when you don't feel it. I'm just going to hammer this again and again and again. You set the tone. They will mirror back to you. If you are insecure about facilitating this, they will be insecure about you facilitating this, right? So, you know, over-prepare if you have to. Have way too many questions written down. Send them the agenda, like have it all mapped out. Have your checklist right next to the place where you're going to take your notes. Have everything you need to feel comfortable. And then be that island of calm. And I'll get into this in a moment, but remember, your job is to not find and fix every problem that they have. We're here to get clarity, confidence, and traction for one thing. If we get to some other stuff, great. But we're here to do this one thing. And if you prepare, you're smart people. You can do this. You can have the confidence that you can get them clarity, get them, clarity, confidence, traction. You can get them those three things within 90 minutes for their content strategy, right? You can do this. So you're going to still hear that insecurity pecking at the window like a bird who doesn't understand that the window is there. It's like trying to get in, peck, 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 peck. You're going to hear that. But just remember, no one is wanting you to fail. No one is waiting for you to fail.
I want to mention something really quick. So one of the biggest, most important insights I ever got in my coaching and training business came from a friend of mine who's actually a tennis coach. And we were just talking and he just asked me a couple of open-ended questions. He doesn't know anything about my business. He doesn't know anything about my audience. But as I answered them, the answers surfaced immediately, the answers that I was looking for. And I never forgot that. You know, think about this. This guy wasn't even, you know, in my business. This wasn't a paid session. We're just having a conversation. So don't underestimate the power of good questions. You're creating a safe space, just like my friend did. For me, I mean, because we're just having a friendly conversation and so much can happen. You don't have to put all the pressure, as you said earlier, Austin, on you to perform.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't agree more, Ed. And I think questions like, so why are we here? And then you follow that up with, what do you want? Like, think about the time someone put their entire attention, they pointed their intellect and their heart and all their experience and all their expertise, they pointed all of that at you and asked you a question like, what do you want? Like, you don't think to get an answer to that one question wouldn't be worth the cost of entry. Like, remember, just like Ed said, we don't get this many places, right? That's why people are willing to pay for it, because they don't get it elsewhere. So let me just double click on this point. Your job is to help the client get clarity, confidence, and traction by making decisions and taking initial steps down the path. The value for them is when they make a decision about a path. When we identify together steps down that path, and when they take steps down that path, it's almost like any action is better than inaction. So your job is not to find and fix all their problems. Your job is simply to get them moving. All right. During the session, you're going to share the agenda, which you prepared in advance. You're going to restate the goal. And if you like, you can use that, so why are we here? Question to help get everybody planted again. You're going to ask open-ended questions. You're going to take notes. Some of you won't necessarily like a more open-ended or free flow format. So I want to give you one of my tools, which is just dividing up a strategy session into four phases: diagnose, discuss, decide, define. So here's what that kind of looks like. And I know that the vertical lines of text are hard to read, so you can all get over that. How about that? Diagnose the root problem, need, or opportunity. Again, with the onboarding questionnaire, with some of your communication before the session, you may already have, you know, clear line of sight about what this is. So you may not need to spend very long on this phase during the session, right? But then the next phase is, okay, well, what paths are available to you? I hear you saying that you want to ramp up blogging again. What paths are available to you? Are you going to write the posts? Is someone on your team going to write the posts? Are you going to want to hire a ghostwriter like me? Let's talk about the paths available. We can do a kind of cost-benefit analysis, like what are the benefits and drawbacks of each of those paths? Then we're going to decide together on what the best path forward is. Okay, you've decided that you do want to hire a ghostwriter. That's the path you want to go down. Let's define what that ghostwriter is going to be writing about. Let's, you know, pull out some of your best ideas, or let's go back to the diagnose phase and say, well, why haven't your posts in the past generated the outcome or results that you want? What are you going to do differently this time around? What's going to be different about this plan, right? So you may notice that just as conversations unfold organically, you may hop around on some of these phases, but still you want to have a fairly regimented progression toward the define, because that's where you're going to help them create the action plan that you deliver in the report, right? So just to give you some examples of, well, what questions might you ask during different phases? Diagnose. Let's restate why we're here. Okay, so if we got clarity and came up with a plan for X, came up with a plan for, you know, hiring a ghostwriter and ramping up blogging again, then you'd leave this session today feeling satisfied and glad that you invested in it. Great. Discuss. Okay, so you already tried Z. You already tried writing everything yourself. What were the results? Okay, so a lot of the inconsistency came from you already have way too much on your plate, you know, and you're taking notes. You already, you know, client already has too much on, Ed already has too much on his plate, right? Okay, so you're interested in A, you're interested in getting more leads from the website using high quality blog content, but something has held you back. Inconsistency has held you back. Let's dig into that a little bit more. Oh, okay, so you have hired other ghostwriters in the past, but you were really disappointed in the quality of their work. Well, let's dig into that. Why was it not up to snuff? Okay, decide. So what I hear you saying is that hiring a ghostwriter and having a very clearly defined editorial process, that's the best path forward. Okay, let's talk through the blockers, needs, and tasks. Do you already have that editorial process mapped out? No, you don't. Do you personally have the expertise to define an editorial process? No, you don't. Okay, so this is something you need help doing. Okay, now you pull all these things out during the session, right? Later, when you deliver the report, your wording is going to be, you said you needed help defining an editorial process. So when you say, I will help you define your editorial process, you're not selling. You're like making their problems go away, right? And that's why these strategy engagements set you up so well and make it so easy to sell an ongoing engagement, some kind of implementation project, right? Because in a session like this, like they open the kimono, they don't hold anything back. They're here to get clarity, right? And so they're just going to tell you things that they wouldn't ordinarily tell you if you were trying to pitch a writing project to them. That's what makes it so cool, right? All right, define. Okay, so it seems like the first step is C. It seems like the first step would be defining the editorial process. Would you agree? Yep. Okay, and then you want to get to the point where you're publishing two really high quality, optimized, you know, keyword focused blog posts, two of them every month. But before you can get that, you actually need the keyword research, right? Like there's a dependency there, okay? Do you already have those keywords? No, you don't. Okay, so you need someone to help you do keyword research. Is that right? Yes. So you'll notice that the way I phrase a lot of this is I'm constantly going back to them and asking them to put their rubber stamp on everything that we say together. Again, because in the report, there's no room for argument. There's no room for disagreement. This is what you said to me. I'm a professional parrot. I'm simply regurgitating what I heard. So this is the flow. You all can do this. You already do this in discovery sessions with your writing clients. Now it's just a matter of turning it into a standalone engagement and getting paid a lot more for it. All right. And then because I know some of you are like, okay, but how long should I spend on each phase? The answer is it depends. But if you just want a template that you can improvise on top of, here you go. Spend 5 minutes getting settled, restating the goal, quickly review the agenda together, spend another 10 minutes confirming the root problem, need, or opportunity. And it may be that you're both like 60 seconds in, you're like, so why we're here is to discuss how you can make blogging more effective and more valuable for your company. Is that right? They're like, yep, perfect. So you don't need to spend 10 minutes here if you're both clear on the goal of the session, right? 15 minutes on discuss. That's just where you're trying to pull out what have you tried so far? What obstacles are in your way? You know, and you don't necessarily need to use this language, but what are the factors that are contributing to your stasis, to your inertia? Why are you stuck? Let's figure out what's causing that stuckness, right? Then you're going to decide on that path, the best path forward. Hey, we're going to build a plan today. We need to pick a path so that we can build the plan. Great. Now we're building the plan. Here's the approach that you're going to take to, you know, having a much, much better blog. Last 5 minutes, you're going to wrap up, explain next steps. So you'll notice if you do the math, this is a 90-minute engagement. You would just expand this a little bit for longer engagements. You would contract it a little bit for shorter engagements, but this overall format and flow will serve you well. That has served me well. All right. Best practices. A lot of us are so used to being nice that we would spend way too long on getting settled, restating the goal, that sort of thing. This time is really valuable. Your client's time is really valuable. Your time is really valuable. If you start 10 minutes late because you're getting chatty, you know, you're still going to have to add 10 minutes on the end, right? So this is where professionalism kicks in. And even if they have a very casual attitude, because like I have had clients, if I say $1,500, $2,500 for the strategy engagement, that's not a lot of money to them. So they roll up, they're feeling casual about it because this isn't all that different for them than getting a haircut. So they come in, they're like, all right, you know, great to be here. Oh, great. You have pastries. How's your family? Like, some clients will be chatty. That's fine. But I'm telling you, lead. Even if they have a casual or even cavalier attitude, lead them. Quickly review the agenda. I actually, if we're in person, I will write the goal on the whiteboard or on like one of those big pads that you can put on a tripod stand. I will write it down because inevitably at some point during the session, they're going to go off on a rabbit trail. And I'm like, let me pull you back. Remember, we're here to do this today. Now, if we need to spend time on that at the end, that's fine. Let's put that in the icebox for now. Here's why we're here. Let's get back on track. And they'll laugh. Like, people actually don't even mind being interrupted as long as you're interrupting them to bring them back to the goal that you agreed on. And again, this is leadership. Okay, next, this is, even though this is only a small line, this is really important. Watch for disturbances, ask about fears and worries. And I would also say pay attention to excitement here. People get stuck for a variety of reasons. And some of those reasons are emotional. Some of them are relational. Some of them have to do with their limiting beliefs. And it's almost like you're looking at a river and you know that there's an obstruction. There's like a probably a tree underneath that is causing an eddy. Right. You look at the water and there's that one spot where there's a disturbance on the surface and you're like, oh, there must be something underneath the surface. I wonder if they've actually examined that. You don't need to be a therapist. I'm just saying, like I've said in meetings, I'm like, okay, so you just seem totally bored. Like when those words came out of your mouth, well, I guess we need to do this for the blog. Your shoulders sagged. Your whole demeanor changed. What's up with that? And you can laugh about it. And they're like, oh, I guess this just sounds like a huge burden. I'm like, okay, great. Let's talk about that. So watch for disturbances on the surface and follow them and inquire. Point your curiosity at those things. Because oftentimes that's where the big insights will come, the aha moments. Okay. And I think I might have told you all this in a past session. There was one, they were like, I don't think I want to do this anymore. I'm like, well, I guess I won't be putting the what's next section in the report, right? Because they've just decided to quit their own business. But that kind of thing can happen. Again, how often do people sit us down and say, what do you really want? Is that what you really want? Because when your shoulders sagged and your whole demeanor changed, I got the impression that that's not what you really want. What do you really want? And finally, they have someone who will listen if they actually say it aloud and then help them come up with a plan, right? Okay, we went over this a little bit, I think, last time. Know what you'll say to keep the client focused and the session on track. I'll have a few more ideas for you in the next slide. But then this may be obvious, but even with in-person sessions, I'll always try to record the sessions. If it's an all-day session, I don't bother. We'll cover too much. But 90-minute sessions, sometimes you may want to revisit a certain part to get the client's exact words because you want to put that in the report. Sometimes they're just glad to have this artifact. They actually have more value. It seems more like an engagement if there's this recording, right? Okay, you all know by now I'm a talkative person. Some naysayers might even say verbose, okay? So if you were to get me in one of these strategy sessions and you ask me about some business venture I've got and what my problems are and what I want, you may as well ask me about my kids. Like, I'm gonna talk forever. I'm gonna go off on all these rabbit trails. You need to bring me back in, right? Hey, Austin, let me put you on pause just for a second. And again, you point at the goal. You know, you wanted to get together with me and invest in this engagement because you wanted to have a really tight and smart content strategy. I hear what you're saying right now, but that doesn't actually relate to the content strategy. I think we need to put that in the icebox for now. And if there's time at the end, we'll return to that. Cool? Cool. Another thing is when you have a client who's literally talking in circles, it's like a dog chasing its tail. Don't actually compare a client to a dog to the client's face. Just that's a pro tip. But they're just talking in circles. And you may be sitting there thinking, I don't think we've actually covered any new ground over the last 5 minutes. Step in and say, okay, what I hear you saying is that you're just really unsure about taking this path. Because again, if people are talking in circles, they just don't have confidence. So you bring them back to clarity so that clarity can beget confidence. Confidence can spur on decisive action, traction, right? Finally, let me repeat back what I heard. There's something so powerful about saying, you know, you need help with the editorial process. You know, you need help with SEO. You're worried about hiring a ghostwriter because you've gotten burned in the past, but yet you really need a ghostwriter because you haven't been able to stay consistent on your own. What you'd really like is for a ghostwriter to touch base with you every Monday and give you a project status update. Did I hear you right? And they're like, yes. Like, why haven't I been able to like just say it that way on my own? Like, you're like, well, that's why you hired me. Ha ha. Right. Okay. What are these engagements for? Your job is to help the client get clarity, confidence, and traction. I don't have magic questions for you. Your best tools are your own curiosity, empathy, and domain expertise. Really good questions are going to come to you in the moment, the same way they would if you were in a conversation with a friend. You're going to think, well, are you happy with that? Are you happy with that choice? Right? Like, these are not like PhD level questions, unless we're talking about like a PhD in intuition and empathy, right? So you really just treat people with great care and concern. You point your curiosity at them. You point your domain expertise at them. You point your empathy at them. Like I said, you watch the surface of the river, you look for disturbances and excitement, and then you're just constantly connecting those back with the stated goal. That's how one of these sessions unfolds. And if you can do that, although now that I look at that, I think there's a typo in the sentence. We could get rid of the knowing that. Your job is to help the client get clarity, confidence, and traction. That's it.
Well, in Austin, we did provide a bunch of question ideas, you know, in sessions 2 and 3. So it's not that we're not giving you questions. It's that, you know, you're not going to be
questions for you.
You're not going to be able to do this during the session. Okay, let me see. I checked that one off. Let me go to question 3. That's not going to work. So you do need to be familiar with some of these questions ideas. You know, you need to have a toolbox. But, you know, something that's helped me a lot in these types of sessions, and, you know, especially with coaching, right, is if I start getting a little bit anxious, oh my gosh, you know, what do I ask next? I tell myself, okay, pretend that this is just a good friend who just came to me with this challenge, and I'm just helping him talk through it, and he's not paying me. So in other words, I make it friendly and I take money off the table. What would I ask right now? And that gives me instant clarity. Something about the money piece, and it's like, oh my God, the clock is ticking.
That's right. You know,
really stifles creativity and free flowing ideas. So tell yourself, this is a good friend. I'm just doing him a favor. There's no money being exchanged. And I'll even add this to my little imaginary scenario. I'm financially independent. I don't need to do this, you know? And it just really clears all the cobwebs for me. So good. Just a little tip there.
Now that's good. And one other thing that came to mind is I'll use the language facilitating a process of self-discovery. You know, I don't carry around this burden of having to like magically produce, manifest some groundbreaking insight. Like, I generally do think that people know what they need to do, but the window in just gets really, really dirty and they can't see through it. So I'm like, great. Let me be your window cleaner today. Let me help you realize what you know already you need to do.
Your window cleaner. I love that.
I'm your professional window cleaner.
You got away with okay. words, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you. Often away with too many words, right?
No, it's good. It's all good.
But okay, after the session, I will just send a thank you email and be like, so that just happened. That was cool. Then I'll draft the report as soon as possible while everything's fresh in my mind. You obviously have all your notes, but there's a lot of context that you'll remember outside of your notes. Deliver the report within 2 to 3 days. It's not that big of a deal if it takes you longer. I like to do this because I like to send the report, especially if it has my pitch at the end, while they're still feeling that buzz of excitement, enthusiasm about what we accomplished together. Strike while the iron is hot. And then follow up. Like, this person is a client, just like any other client. You want to keep in touch. Hey, how's it going? You know, like, ideally, if you include that what's next or where do we go from here section that talks about an ongoing engagement, you'll already be in close contact with them. But if not, if it's just like a one-off thing, keep in touch, because why wouldn't they want to buy another strategy session in the future? Hey, you know, you were really helpful with the content strategy. Would you help us think through what we should do at the big trade show coming up? And you're like, sure. I've had multiple clients who are repeat customers and they just want to buy consultation, want to buy strategy, want to pick my brain. And I'm like, great, here's the link where you can book it. All right. Now, we already touched on this. How and where do you pitch additional services? So this is, again, is kind of like a pro tip, right? When you are in the session, it's totally appropriate as you're thinking about the various paths forward and helping them pick a path, it's totally appropriate to say, what kind of budget do you have for this, right? Because you may realize that, you know, Ed, who wants to hire a ghostwriter to help him ramp up blogging again, Ed is thinking that he's going to pay, you know, $50 a blog post. And you're thinking, there's no way I want to touch that project with a 10-foot pole, right? And aren't you glad that you actually know what the budget is? And you can, in the session, say, hey, I just want you to know, I charge starting at like $1,000 or roughly $1 a word for 1,000-word blog post. You reached out to me because you like the quality of my work. If you think that you're going to find that level of quality and pay somebody $50 per 1,000-word article or post, I just don't think that's realistic. And I'm telling you this now because I think you may be disappointed later if you don't adjust your expectations around the type of budget that's realistic based on your goals, right? They're paying you to consult with them. They're paying you for your domain expertise. Ask the budget question. And then if you realize their budget's way off, you can tell them that in the session, later on, if you do pitch an ongoing engagement, they don't get the sticker shock then. They've already had time to become acclimated to, I really need to find the budget if I'm going to hire someone great, right? Then, and I'm going to show you an example of this. In the report, you can, oh, let me go back to one thing. If you ask them what the budget is during the strategy session, they may name a much higher number than they ever would have named if you're just on a discovery call and you're the writer and they need writing and they're like, how much per article, right? They're not going to say, well, our budget for the blog for the year is $30,000. They're going to say, how much do you charge per article? And you're kind of like, well, it depends. It's like, are we talking about a 150 word article or like a 15,000 word ultimate guide? What are we talking about here, right? So be prepared to be pleasantly surprised when you ask this budget question in a natural, organic way during a strategy session and they name a number that is very enticing to you. And once you know that number, well, great. Later, when you say, here's what it would look like to work with me in an ongoing fashion, you know where you need to be, right? So they've kind of shown you their hand. Okay, you include 2 to 3 options in your report, what's next or where do we go from here? You can also, as a part of the engagement, include a check-in call and say, okay, so we're going to do, I'm going to send you the pre-work questionnaire. You fill that out. Then we schedule a session. We do the session and then we check in 2 weeks later to see how things are going. You just build it in. It's part of the engagement. But when you check in, you say, okay, how is everything going? And they're like, we're really excited about the plan, but we haven't made a ton of progress. And you can say, do you want help with that? In other words, some people may still think, well, we can do it on our own. They look at your where do we go from here section in the report. They're like, well, I don't know that we have to have that, but give them 2 weeks and they realize we can't keep doing the same thing and expect different results. We really do need to get more support, more help, right?
So what you're saying there, but Austin, real quick, just a point of clarification. So that is, if you wanted to, you can build that check-in session at, you know, later down the road. So you do the session, you hit onboarding session, report, a couple of weeks later, you do a check-in, short check-in session. You build that and you factor that into your fee as well. You know, when you're,
that's part of what they're paying for, right? Yeah. That's part of the value of the engagement that, yeah, we're just going to do a little check-in, little tune-up. You know, 2 weeks after I send you the report, and I just want to know how things are going. And that's a chance to sell. And then finally, I already kind of mentioned, make sure you keep in touch 30, 60, 90 days. I would just go ahead and add those, you know, appointments or tasks to your calendar. Follow up, follow up, follow up, follow up, right? Because maybe they need longer than 2 weeks to come to the realization that they really need more support, even if it's more than they want to pay, right? If you keep following up, you stay top of mind. If you stay top of mind, you'll often get first right of refusal on repeat business and even bigger engagements, right? Okay, so I've been talking about, well, make sure you include this in your report. Okay, but what does that look like? So these are, it's either the last 3 or 4 pages, right? So you see that one line toward the top of the page, that's where the actual plan and report ended. And then I didn't pull any punches with the subheader. Wunderbar was the name of my company for a while. Why Wunderbar is best for the project. Did not pull any punches, right? I'm not selling for my heels here. Okay, so then I more or less just talk a little bit. And then how we can do this for you. They've got the plan. And I'm like, here's how, you know, me and my team can do this for you. Oh, and, you know, which model works best for you? So I give them option A, which is $2,250 per month. And then option B, which is $3,500 a month. And this was when I still had a team. And so when I say the number of hours that are included, a lot of that time was, you know, I actually delegated that time to someone else on my team. So not necessarily, this is a non sequitur, but I'm not advocating that you charge hourly. Anyway, what happens next, right? You know, I'd like to get started on this immediately so that we can gain traction before the holiday rush and position ourselves to hit the ground running in January. If we can knock out some of the smaller projects now, then a January launch will be even more successful, right? And, you know, I'm just restating what I said earlier in the report, which is you said that you want to have a really successful launch at the beginning of the year. I can help you make that launch successful. And FYI, they did become a retainer client. So this entire process, not only did I get paid for strategy, helped me land a retainer client too. Okay, this section is pretty short because we've been over this before. You all know with reports, what I advocate for is turning your agenda into the sections of the report. So that's the template, right? I'm not going to repeat myself here. But I will say that once I write the first draft, I'll generally let the copy age for 24 hours. Then I'll come back, I'll polish it up, I'll finalize it later. I do recommend sending more than like a Google Doc or a Word doc. I think it goes back to perceived value and premium client experience. If you pay a designer using your colors, your branding, all that, your visual branding, all that stuff, it just shows a level of sophistication, professionalism, polish that is certainly not going to hurt you, work against you. Next point, when I say bonus section, I mean, there have been times when during a strategy engagement, there are ideas that come up that we don't spend much time fleshing out. I may cherry pick some of those ideas and then flesh them out for the client in the report. It's a fine line because I don't think that longer reports are the same as higher value reports. And we'll probably get into that in session number 6. Your reports should not be a transcript of the strategy session. You're skimming off the best stuff and giving it to them in an actionable form. But I'll give you one example. There was one client that they realized we really need to ramp up a cold outreach. We need to create a hit list or a target list of 100 dream clients. And then we need to start reaching out to them one by one. That was like just like a sidebar conversation. But what I did is I already had a plan like that. Oh, here are the steps for doing that written up elsewhere. I just copied and pasted that in, customized it for them, and then linked out to a few of my cold outreach email templates. And that was a bonus, right? I do want to show generosity because gracious hosts are also generous hosts. So don't be afraid to be generous with your reports, but also don't mistake longer reports for more valuable reports. It's sort of a tightrope that you walk.
And it's all about expectations too, right, Austin? Because the expectation wasn't that, but then you included that in the report, which is nice because you got to be careful. You don't want to turn into, okay, well, tell me more about the how. This is not all about the how and implementation. So that's the other thing. Sometimes there's a danger that if you give them a nice bonus, then now they think that's part of the scope. It's like, okay, Well, we need to map this out and we need more scripts. And what about follow-up? And that's now a separate engagement.
When you're thinking about a bonus, you can think, would they be excited to get this? Would they be pleasantly surprised? will this seem like a really nice bonus, a really valuable bonus? Or like Ed said, are you going to be opening Pandora's box? And you will normally have a sense after the session, if it's a new client, personality wise, how safe is it to like give bonuses? You'll know, trust your gut with that stuff. Deliver the report within 2 to 3 days, follow up after 30, 60, 90 days. FYI, I do this often. I have my written notes. I'll pull out the Timmy app. And for the overview, I'm like, all right, we had this strategy engagement because you wanted to get clarity around why your blog is underperforming and what a better content strategy might look like. You can read it off. Timmy will send the transcript of you reading through your notes, processing aloud. We'll send you that transcript to your inbox. And sometimes by the time I clean up what I get from Timmy, my report is finished. So this is just a little hack that you can use if you want to. All right, this is the last part and I'm gonna fly through this. I told you I'd share with you an example of a strategy session, just kind of beginning to end. And here we go. I got a call from a friend. He had no idea that I even sold something like a one-day brand sprint. He needed help with something. So I followed up via email and said, I think this is the right thing for you. Then this is just the first slide. I've shared this slide with you before. If you'll notice, the offer was packaged up as a slide deck and then attached to the email as a PDF, right? So this is just the first slide in that PDF, first page in that PDF. Okay, this may seem like a funny choice, but sometimes the same as with any other project, there's gonna be back and forth, right? I send Corey this email. He has some questions. We exchange more emails and eventually I kind of get the tentative yes. You can see here, if this means we've got the green light, we can start looking at dates for the kickoff call and sprint itself. I did get the green light. I sent them the invoice. I use QuickBooks to send invoices. Use whatever you want. Then I book the day in the calendar, right? I get the yes. Then they pay. Then I book the date in the calendar. I don't like to get this out of order. It's awkward. Maybe a couple times early on, I booked the strategy session. We did the strategy session. I delivered the report and then I'm chasing payment. It's off. I don't like that. So this is the progression that I use, you know, yes. Invoice, book it. Okay, once we book it, then I send them the onboarding questionnaire. Then I review the responses. This is kind of a duh moment, right? But I'll review the responses quickly because I'm trying to figure out, well, what should the goal be? I'm the domain expert. And sometimes if you just say, well, what's your goal for this engagement? They're going to name a goal that isn't as important as something else that they could accomplish, right? So what I'm doing is just sort of sifting through their answers to my questions to see what turns up. We have many messages. I even copied it verbatim so that you could see, you know, this was her grammar. This is her like running and gunning, filling out the questions really fast. We don't have many messages. We don't have a focused brand / strategy. You know, what they really want is to give a consistent message to their audience. That's what they want. That's what they want. I sold them a one-day brand sprint, but what does the brand sprint need to do for them? Enable them to give a consistent message to their audience, right? So here's how the goal, and even you could say the whole engagement begins to take shape. I ask a good question. They give an honest answer. I sift through their answers. I go back to them and I say, so what I hear you saying is that this session, this strategy engagement would be a success if we spend our time creating a focused brand strategy that allows you to give a consistent message to your audience. Yes, that would be so worth it. Great. Remember, if you listen closely, people will always tell you what they want to buy and how they want you to sell it to them. And the selling continues after the client pays the invoice. I could obviously have kept talking about the one-day brand sprint and used my language. But from that point forward, I just put a lot more emphasis on, we want to give you all a consistent message. And then when we get to the day itself, I'm going to put that goal on the board and I'm going to keep selling that outcome to them. Because sometimes clients, they like take their eye off the ball. You have to keep selling to them what they said they wanted to buy. Now, it's worth noting that when I do a one-day brand sprint, after the client has filled out the onboarding questionnaire, before the sprint, I book a kickoff call. And that is where we finalize the agenda together. Then I create the agenda. That's what I carry to the meeting or send over to them beforehand. I go into the sprint, the one-day brand sprint in this case, I go into the strategy session having my questions handy. There's no way I'm going to get through all these. I didn't ask all these. Even with an entire day, we can't ask and answer all these questions. I just, maybe it's like a security blanket. Ed has talked about, like, you know, when you're a little bit anxious, I'd rather be overprepared. So I just prepared this bucket of questions and I walked into that session having these, but I bet I only had time to ask 10 to 15% of them. Good news, you know, you've already seen some of these, but good news, I actually have those questions for any engagement now. So if you write down your questions beforehand, you get to reuse them with each subsequent engagement. Then obviously I took some notes. This looks like the client diary of pains and wants. Okay, then I just turned those notes into a report. Then I sent the email and I was like, hey, I know you said there's no rush and I know you've got your hands full right now. But regardless, I'm still going to keep my word and deliver the report to you very quickly. Here's the draft. Oh, and then later I'm going to deliver a really pretty version of it. Okay. That's it this time. We're going to get to the assignment here in a second. But in the next session, we're going to just gather up some of the pitfalls. We've touched on them from time to time, perfectionism, imposter syndrome. We're just going to speak specifically to those pitfalls. And then Ed and I are going to give you a final clarion call, a final rather forcible push to take messy, imperfect action. But between now and the next session, here's what I would like for you to do. Set a timer for 20 minutes, go back through this session's slides, and write down the steps that you're going to take to create your premium client experience, facilitate your strategy session, and deliver the report. A lot of your steps will be the same, but just come up with your checklist, your beginning to end strategy engagement checklist, right? Then, oh, and by the way, we're going for crappy first drafts here. That's why you only get 20 minutes. Don't spend an hour on this, just 20 minutes, right? Then you're going to set another timer and you're going to gather your initial set of questions. As Ed mentioned, we've put a bunch in the portal for you, but what will you need to know before your session in order to have enough context and color going in to guide them through those four phases? All right. And what questions will you ask potentially during the session? And then I like this last question. What are common obstacles and pitfalls that the client may face? And what questions will determine the client's preparedness? Sometimes clients don't have what they need to overcome obstacles and to walk around pitfalls. They're just not prepared, right? So if you can think, well, based on my domain expertise, what causes clients to fail or get stuck when they're trying to do something like create content strategy for a blog? Just write all those questions down. I think you'll find it easier to produce those questions than you might think. Finally, set a timer, third time. What are your outstanding tasks? What stuff do you still need to create in order to deliver your strategy engagement? So I would just say, let's make it brass tacks. Whatever those tasks are, assign outstanding tasks to specific days in your calendar and get this done. You invested in this program. It's time to like see that return on your investment by marking those outstanding tasks off your list. That's it, Ed. That's all I got.
This is great. You know, you've given us a framework for leading and facilitating these sessions, and that is much more valuable than an exact checklist that doesn't really reflect reality. So I hope, you know, everyone can understand and see that this is really the path. This is really what's going to help you lead these sessions mm-hmm. effectively. You got the tools. The real learning happens once you start doing these. That's when you really understand and get familiar with how you're going to need to facilitate these sessions effectively.
Have you ever, I don't know if any of y'all have ever signed up for those meal delivery services like HelloFresh, but there have been times we've been like halfway through a recipe and you realize, well, now we're stuck because they said cook the chicken for 5 minutes and it doesn't look done yet. And you realize that recipes often become a handicap. So the very thing that I did not want to do, and Ed and I talked about this a little bit beforehand, if we were to say, all you have to do is blindly trust each of these steps and this sort of ironclad checklist, and you're good to go. That does not reflect reality, because you'll be in the middle of one of these sessions and a client gets really emotional. And you're like, you know, you're off to the side, like, what does Austin's checklist say about when someone starts crying? Right. And you think I'm joking. I'm not joking. Right. There have been some really big and powerful moments that I've had in these strategy sessions. Well, instead of looking at the checklist, you would say, well, like to Ed's point, if I weren't getting paid for this and I'm just here with a friend, what would I do? Well, I'd know exactly what to do. I'd sit down and I'd say, where's the, you know, tell me more about this emotion. Where's it coming from? Like, why did you get choked up a little bit just now? This is a safe place, right? And they can say, I'm just so tired. And you're like, well, maybe the plan should not involve putting more on you. It should involve putting more on your team. Or maybe the plan should involve hiring an assistant for you or whatever, right? So we have been very deliberate about not handicapping you all by giving you a recipe that would break as soon as it got out into a real world strategy session. So you'll see what we mean if you don't already, as soon as you book your first one. So go make it happen.
There you go. All right. Well, thank you, Austin. And we'll see you guys at the next Q&A coaching call. Talk soon.